I already love Caleb Williams. It's this whole thing is insane to me, especially in a city like Chicago, where Dennis Rodman, played for the Bulls. And like the one time when he dressed in a wedding dress, do you remember that? Like this,
Yes,
why
such a
is
good
this a
point.
thing? Like, I don't care. As long as the Bears are winning, as long as he is winning, as long as if he goes out there and proves that he is our first true franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman, I don't care what he does. I don't care what he dresses in. If he what he paints his nails, you know what? I would love for him to paint F the Packers on his nails and then go out and beat them. That would give me life.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome in to another off-season episode of the Bears Wire podcast. I'm Ryan O'Leary, joined as always by the wonderful Alyssa Barbieri, the managing editor of USA Today's Bears Wire. Alyssa, we are talking a week out now from the 2024 NFL draft, so you know what that means. We have arrived at our fourth annual Bears Wire draft bingo episode. We always have fun on here talking Bears. But I think this is our favorite episode every year, mostly because the draft is almost here finally. But we always have fun doing the draft bingo card, and we have arrived.
I am so excited. I have been waiting, counting the days until we are filming this episode. And like you said, it's the a lot of the excitement is because the NFL draft is right around the corner. And this is one of my Super Bowls of the offseason, especially. And just all of the work, the hard work that me and my writers, my team put in, just preparing for the draft and during the draft and after the draft. And there's so much work. And then it feels like this is where the season truly begins, even though we're going to have a little stretch there before training camp. But it's just really exciting. And this draft bingo episode, ever since this is the fourth one, you said, right? I can't believe we've done it that number four already. It's going to be the 5th year anniversary next year. Insane. This is always one of my favorites because we just get to, because so many of the topics too are, at the time when we write them, it's fun to look back and then kind of look at what we predicted, because a lot of these are like predictions. Some, have a higher probability of happening than others. So it's just fun to look back at it after the fact too and see, did you get bingo, and like which ones actually, came to fruition and all that. And it's always so much fun. So I'm excited to be here, Ryan, and it's been too long, so I'm ready to get to it.
Yeah, let's get right into it. And folks can find the Bears Wire draft bingo card. I think actually, if you just Google Bears Wire draft bingo, you'll find not only this year's card, but previous years. We have cornered
They're
the Google
there.
SEO market on Bears draft wire bingo card, whatever those keywords are, Alyssa. So that's great. Good for us.
You could just do Bears draft bingo and like, we're all there.
We should be there. Yeah. And you'll see our really, low budget, I will say, bingo cards from the very first time we did it, where I found some random bingo card generator online and we use that to now it's being a little bit more official with our logo and all that stuff for Bears Wire. But yeah, excited to do
You've
that.
You've evolved and you've done a good job on that too. So
yeah, but this whole thing was your idea and it is one of the more popular episodes. So we are going to bring it back, but we are going to make you wait a little bit, you the listener, which again, we do appreciate you, and subscribe, tell friends, give us that 5-star rating in review, all of that stuff. We're going to make you wait a little bit because first we're going to chug through a 6-pack of questions, Alyssa, to get us primed for the draft, right? We've reached the final week here, a week away from the draft. What better to get ourselves ready just to do a 6-pack of questions, all things NFL and the Bears. You down for that to get us it? And then we'll do the bingo card at the end.
I am always down for a 6-pack. Let's do this.
All right, let's get into it with a juicy one to start us off here as we crack this thing open. It's going to be a long-winded question, Alyssa, but should Bears fans be concerned about the new soon-to-be face of their franchise, right? I think we all know what's going to happen at pick number one overall here on Thursday night. Your quarterback, Alyssa, is known to paint his fingernails, right? The most famous time, I think, is when he painted F Utah on his nails before a game and then proceeded to never beat Utah once in his career at USC. I thought that one was a kind of a fun one for Caleb Williams with the nail polish, but he does do that. He is obviously sported a red dress and white socks for a cover shoot for GQ. Very famously cried in his mother's arms after the loss to Washington this season. He climbed into the stands in his uniform. That was all over social media. There's been plenty of clips of Caleb Williams all over social, but I think the most recent viral one was him showing off the pink fingernail polish that matched his pink wallet and pink phone or something like that, right? So seems to be the polar opposite of Justin Fields, right? Who bled Chicago and bled Chicago football, I should say, and earned a groundswell of support towards the end of last season. I think at least in part because folks are having a hard time wrapping their heads around what's about to come, Alyssa, this new era, and who's going to be the face of their franchise. And this all boils down to the question, right? Should fans be full of worry or full of optimism, right, for this process that's about to start? Can you talk some sense into us as fans that might be worried about this?
There's only one answer, and there's every reason to be optimistic about Caleb Williams coming into Chicago. I find this entire thing hilarious because, you know, whether it's a segment of Bears fans who wanted Justin Fields to stick around, or if it's Packers fans or other fan bases that dislike the Bears and don't want them to get a franchise quarterback finally, it's just hilarious that that is what they're focusing in on. I just, like the pink phone case, it all came to a head at that one of the NCAA women's tournament games. He went to support USC. And just like the fact that he had the pink phone case and people were just like freaking out over him. Like, what are we doing here? Like, and my favorite response too was his reaction. Like when there was like the video released after, when he was like, oh gosh, what was it? Like his nails are clear, his lips, or his phone is pink and his lips are pink and your girl loves them. I'm like, I love this guy so much already. How he doesn't give an F. It's something that's quite new. Just, I mean, like, we've talked about this in past episodes before, Ryan, where, you know, we've had different types of quarterbacks and their different demeanors. And, you know, we tried the Boy Scout with Mitch Trubisky. You tried the robot. And that just means that in Justin Fields, it's like, you know, nothing really fazed him. He didn't really react. The biggest thing he ever did was not really take a direct shot at the coaching staff, but he was just trying to work through something in his head, and he accidentally, you know, kind of threw Luke Getsy under the bus or whatnot. Like, that's the worst thing he did. Like, I mean, I already love Caleb Williams. It's this whole thing is insane to me, especially in a city like Chicago, where Dennis Rodman, you know, played for the Bulls. And like the one time when he dressed in a wedding dress, do you remember that? Like,
yes,
why is this a thing? Like, I don't care. As long as the Bears are winning, as long as he is winning, as long as if he goes out there and proves that he is our first true franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman, I don't care what he does. I don't care what he dresses in. If he paints his nails, you know what? I would love for him to paint F the Packers on his nails and then go out and beat them. That would give me life. I don't care what he does. His personality is awesome. I love that he doesn't care what anyone thinks. Now, the only thing I care about is him going out and proving to be worthy of that number one pick.
Yeah, FG Bay or something on his fingernails. You know what? I don't know. I have
I'm good with that. Let's go.
Yeah. He marches to the beat of his own drum, right? And I think sometimes we even talked about this way back in the day. We were talking about them drafting Caleb Williams in the middle of the regular season last year because, you know, yeah, we could kind of tell where this was going. And we were worried a little bit about the character stuff at first, right? And sometimes it comes across as arrogant. I'm sure some of the old school football fans at Chicago pick other adjectives to describe some of the stuff Caleb's doing, right? And I get that. But when I look at Caleb Williams, you took it right out of my mouth, Alyssa. He doesn't give an F. I wrote in my own notes, he doesn't give a flying F what any of us think about his lifestyle. And you know what? I think that is a gift. I think me personally, I didn't learn the art of not giving a flying F until I was in my 30s, right? It took until I got to my 30s that I kind of let some stuff go. And that's when my career started taking off. That's when I met my future wife and I bought a house and like everything just changed for me in my 30s. I didn't know what the hell was going on in my 20s. I was worried about everything. Caleb Williams isn't worried about it. He's not. And at 22 years old, to be comfortable in his own skin, you know, that makes me feel like he actually can lead the team, lead the locker room, all that, right? He's comfortable in his own skin. He's not going to be rattled by some of this outside crap that young athletes probably are these days. They care about everything, social media and all that. That tends to do the opposite. Caleb Williams doesn't care. He's not changing the way he is for anyone. So for me, it's like, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I'm keeping an open mind with Caleb Williams. I think it's time to stop being scared of stuff that has nothing to do with his play on the field and just give the player who's been a consensus number one pick in this draft, Alyssa, finally a week away from it. But for years, he has been the consensus number one pick. And usually the draft pundits try to talk their way out of it. As we sit here today, April 17th, as we record, we all know that Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick. No one's going to knock him off. And he has been in that spot for 2 years. So let's not rush to any kind of judgment. Keep an open mind. That's where I'm at with Caleb Williams. And let's give the kid a chance. And the fact that he doesn't give an F of about what any of us think and wears a red dress on the cover of GQ and laughs about it, the power to him. All the power to him. So that's just my take on the situation.
I found that very interesting what you mentioned about, you know, not until hitting your 30s and really mastering the art of not giving an F. And I think that you mentioned too about how a lot of people could look at him and like how he's living his life and his decisions and the confidence that he has and look at it as arrogance, because we're not used to people in their 20s having that sort of self-confidence and that comfortability to be able to go out and do stuff like that. So like the fact that he already has that down and that he can go out and focus on ball, which we know is super important to him. You know, we look back at, you know, that moment, you know, when he cried in his mother's arms, you know, like he cares. That's emotion. Like, I don't know about you, but like, well, I cry when I'm frustrated, right? So like, you know, sometimes when you get like really frustrated, and for him, that was an emotional moment. A lot of the time when we go through moments and we get frustrated and we need a moment to break down and cry, we don't have cameras on us. So, you know, it happened in the moment. It's an unfortunate circumstance that I had to be caught and that he had to, you know, be criticized for that. I think it just shows that he cares. And, you know, I love that he doesn't care what anyone thinks about that, about, you know, what he's wearing, about what his cell phone looks like. Like I love it. Like you said, and the most important thing, like we have both said, is as long as he goes out there and his play is what we expect it to be, that is the only thing that matters.
Yeah. 100%. And after he leapt into the stands and cried in his mother's arms after that game against Washington, which I was stunned by, Alyssa, I'd never seen anything like that. Did he, you know, and everybody was calling him soft, right? That's what everybody was saying after that happened.
Because a man can't show emotion.
Right, exactly. And did he do everything he could to put out to portray himself as not soft in people's eyes from that point forward? No, he just kept living his life like he wants to, right? So again, like you said, comfortable in his own skin at 22. That is a pretty phenomenal trick for Caleb Williams. And hopefully he brings all this swagger and confidence and all this crap to Chicago when he is inevitably the number one overall pick. Let's keep an open mind. I think that's the answer to that question. Question number two, as we crack open the next one here, the NFL, Alyssa, abolished the hip drop tackle this offseason. So, and that was to the chagrin of a lot of defensive players in the league. I think most defensive players in the league are not thrilled about this one. Buy or sell this rule change being good for the league in terms of the product, right? Think about it as a fan for this question. As a fan watching football on Sundays, maybe the Bears played on a Thursday night, so Alyssa Barbieri gets to sit down on a Sunday and actually watch football as a fan instead of working. Is this good?
The Bears played Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Is this a good change for, you know, the product as a fan? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been, like you said, a controversial subject, and I know a lot of players, including Bears safety Jaquan Brisker, has spoken out about it as well. And I mean, there's just so many rules that are governing the defense. And I know I understand the NFL is trying to come at this from a safety perspective, right? And you want to make the game safer. But at the same time, this is football. This is a violent game at its core. And there's only so much that you can do to prevent that, because there are going to be moments where, yes, people are going to get injured. It's definitely gotten, obviously, more violent and more dangerous as the game has evolved over the decades and such. But I mean, just, I'm not a big fan of it, of the rule as a fan. Like you said, the product, like, we know what happens to when the NFL introduces rules, a new rule, right? It's going to be overcalled or it's going to be undercalled. Like, there's going to be different discrepancies, like what constitute, okay, well, here are two examples of a hip drop tackle, one that was called, that was penalized, and one that was not. So like, how, like, it's going to be a whole thing again. And it's going to be, again, surrounded by, you know, focused on the referees and the officiating. And it's just, I mean, for defense, they've been taught a certain way how to tackle. And Matt Eberflus talked about this. He was asked about the rule, and he has said that, you know, he always teaches his players not to tackle like that. So I don't think it should be an issue for the Bears specifically, but I do think that there's just so many rules governing defensive players. And like, in the moment, you're trying to bring a guy down, you're not purposely doing that. You're not purposely like, oh, I'm going to use the hip drop tackle so I can injure this guy perhaps or whatnot. So I mean, obviously there is a higher risk of injury when you are doing a hip drop tackle compared to a normal one, but it just, I think it's just so hard to govern these, you know, in the moment when you're flying at, you're like 200 pounds flying at like at other guys and you're just trying to get them down. It's, I don't know. I just feel like it's another rule. That's just kind of, I think it's just not going to be a good look for the league because of how it's perceived already, but also how it's going to be officiated and all just the different controversies that, that are going to come from it.
Yeah. And I know exactly what you're saying here. You're not like a big fan of this style of tackle, but you don't want to see a bunch of 15-yard flags that influence the games. Yeah. Right. And that's, that's where I'm at. Like, I think the officiating continues to be as a fan watching the game. Cause I love, we all love football. We're all going to watch it. Like we could say, oh, we're not watching football. There's too many, there's too many flags. The officiating sucks. We're still going to watch. We're obsessed with football. That's just what it is. They got us, you know, they got us and they're not losing us. But the officiating continues to be the biggest issue, right? This is what people, there's never a football game where you're like, boy, that was a well-officiated game. You know, like that's mostly what people complain about is the officiating or this call, that call, this non-call, you know, whatever. And what this rule does more than anything is it invites more flags. And I think it just creates, Alyssa, another impossible fouls for referees to try to call in real time, yeah. Right? It's like now we've got the refs who already mostly suck. And can't call because there's too much going on anyway in the game. Now they have this other near impossible thing to try to call. So there's going to be a domino effect there. I think the far better solution would, I want to get rid of all these 15-yard flags and just start fining the crap out of people. And I think there is like a fine component to this. Like players who hip drop tackle are going to get fined as well. I would just like, can we just take out the flag and just let the league go back and watch the tape, slow it down, watch the tape, identify what was an illegal hit on a quarterback, a taunting penalty, a hip drop tackle, a horse collar, like let them go and govern it that way without all of these 15-yard penalties. And we clean up some of the plays that directly influence a game. 15-yard automatic first down is a big call in the NFL. And it happens far too often in games. And now we're introducing more of those flags. Just find the hell out of these guys after the game, after you review the tape. And eventually they will stop because guys do not want to lose money. I promise you that. You know, they hit them in the wallet and they'll listen. Hit them with a 15-yard flag. I'm not sure they listen. You know what I mean? Like it's that kind of thing. So I want less flags and more fines, I guess, is kind of how where I'm at. I'm not saying I love this hip drop tackle. I'm fine with them getting it out of the game. I'm just kind of annoyed as a fan that I'm going to have to watch the referees try to figure this thing out in real time because I think it's going to be, like you kind of alluded to, more or less a disaster. Them try to figure this out in real time. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I feel like the refs who are like, come on, guys, it's already hard enough for us. Like, there's so much going on. We're already hated by the entire NFL fan, every NFL fan base, and now you're giving us another impossible task. But it's frustrating, too, because you see other rules that they've already implemented. I mean, this it's just like, it kind of goes back to this. Like, when you're calling a rule, it has to be called fairly across the league, and we know that just isn't the case. I look at, you know, last year with Justin Fields and how he was hit in the head multiple times after he was sliding late hits and did not get one single call last year. Like, it's just like, how are you going to govern it to make sure that it's fair across the board? You know, obviously hit drop tackle is not good, but again, it's just, it seems like more added pressure also for the defense. And then also, like you mentioned, all the additional flags, this game is already long enough. Like it's frustrating. So I'm sure this will go over splendidly.
Yeah, there's just nothing worse as a fan where you're watching a really good game, tight game. Maybe you have a little money on the game, and then the stupid 15-yard like taunting penalty because a guy got a little excited gives the team an extra 15 yards at a first down when they didn't deserve it, and it influences the game. You see that all the freaking time. So anyway, question number three, Alyssa, as we continue with the six pack. A Pittsburgh Steeler question. Here you go. Buy or sell that Mike Tomlin has already made up his mind that Russell Wilson is the starter and Justin Fields is the backup for Pittsburgh to start the 2024 season. I know Tomlin has kind of clarified this. He says it's going to be a competition, but the word is that Russell Wilson's the starter. That seems to be what's coming out of Pittsburgh from the media, and that's what they want you to believe. Are you buying or selling that?
No, I'm selling that. I mean, I don't think, especially when you're in Mike Tomlin's position and all of the quarterback issues that you have with Kenny Pickett and that you need to get this back to a, you know, a winning team, you need to find a quarterback. So I know you have Russell Wilson. You brought him in. You probably promised him, yeah, you're the starter. But then there was this obvious opportunity to go out and also land Justin Fields. And their quarterback situation is just night and day now, right, compared with last year. So, I mean, I'm not buying it. I think that whoever – and like you said, Tomlin said that Fields will have an opportunity to go out there and win the job. And I think that was clear as day. Like, if for everyone watching training camp and preseason, and my goodness, as a Bears writer, I have covered too many of these quarterback competitions. Like, you know who wins. And there's no way that if there's a true competition and Fields outperforms Wilson between training camp and the preseason, there's no way that Fields – isn't the starter at that point. I think, I mean, Tomlin doesn't strike me as someone either that's just going to be like, okay, yeah, Russ, we promised you the job. We're going to give it to you. The best guy will get the job because the Steelers are in the business of winning. So I think that Fields, if I had to pick who I think would win, I think Justin Fields is going to go out and win this. I think he's pissed about how things went in Chicago. I think that getting to go to the type of organization, a stable organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers and working with Mike Tomlin, I mean, and Arthur Smith and that offense, I think that he's going to be in a favorable position and going to be motivated. And plus, I mean, I might have a little bit of a bias because I do want the Bears to have that conditional six turned into a fourth. So, I mean, I think that it'll be a close battle, but I think that Fields ultimately outduels Russell Wilson. But yeah, I don't think the job is decided at this point. There's no way. I mean, we hear that about it's different with like an incoming rookie. You know what I mean? Like we saw this with Matt Nagy, with Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. Like, I mean, those are two completely different situations. You know, the Steelers have Justin Fields essentially on a one-year deal, right? And they need to decide, is he going to be their franchise quarterback? So the only way to decide that if you want to pay him after this year at this point, they could still use the fifth-year option, which they don't have to make that decision until, I believe, early May after the draft. But you have to come to that decision. So again, if Fields outperforms Wilson, or if at some point, you know, hey, what if Wilson does get the start because they promised it, but then he struggles. I don't think that Tomlin would waste any time in yanking him and putting Fields in. So I still don't think this is decided. I think this is going to be one of the top storylines to monitor in training camp. And you bet your butt that Bears Wire will be doing just that because there is a draft pick on the line here.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And we got to keep tabs on this because Fields, yeah, we're all invested
love
in his
him.
Future.
Love Justin.
Yes.
That,
yes.
That was why, you know, Ryan and I, we've been talking about this, about the whole Caleb Williams of all since last year, in the middle of last year. And one of the reasons we were both so against it is we wanted Fields to stick around because we believe that he has the talent and that he can do this. And unfortunately, things just didn't work out in Chicago. He didn't show enough improvement and the Bears were in this position to pick number one and you can't pass over Caleb Williams. So, I mean, unfortunate how things worked out, but one of the reasons we were so against it at first was because of Fields and we believe in what he can do. So we will in fact be monitoring this closely.
100%. And would Mike Tomlin say that Russell Wilson's his starter, but then go ultimately switch and go with Fields? Well, let's just remind everybody that Tomlin, all he did last year was tell the local media in Pittsburgh that Kenny Pickett was his guy, only to leave Pickett on the bench, Alyssa, for third stringer Mason Rudolph after Pickett got a high ankle sprain late in the year. And you know what Pickett did? He got tightrope surgery, which is a surgery that is, I think, kind of tough on the athlete. The athlete would rather let that thing heal up and rehab it naturally. You get this surgery to cut time off of the recovery, right? So you get back faster if you get this surgery. But I think the team would love you to get the tightrope surgery, but the player would tend to want to rehab it naturally. That's just kind of how that goes from what I've read on it. Pickett got the tightrope surgery to get back in plenty of time for the playoffs. And the Steelers said, nah, we're going to stick with Mason Rudolph. So, yeah, I would not put it past the Steelers to change their mind, especially if Fields can show that he is I guess he can make the offense more dynamic. The only thing going against Fields is probably he needs to also show that he is as turnover conscious as Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson's very good at protecting the football. And the Steelers are a team that like to protect the ball on offense, Alyssa, and win on defense. That's kind of their formula over there. So that might make it tough. But if Fields can build a rapport with George Pickens like he did with DJ Moore, show that he can protect the football and show that he can make more dynamic plays than Russell Wilson, I think, I don't think there's any fait accompli in Pittsburgh or anything with their quarterback situation. I think Fields could win the job. Question number four, Alyssa, back to your Bears. What has been your favorite move by Ryan Poles and the Bears this offseason, right? Some of the big ones, I think, the notorious moves. Trading Justin Fields was a big move, obviously. Signing Jalen Johnson. After all the stuff that went on at the trade deadline last year with Johnson, you know, talking to other teams or giving permission to talk to other teams, felt like that was heading a different direction, but they got that deal done. They traded for Keenan Allen, which is a very popular move. What's been your favorite move by Poles this offseason?
Oh, you're so rude. I want to pick two.
Only one.
This is so hard. Okay, well, the one immediate one that came to mind when you asked that before you even kind of went and listed that was the Bears re-signing Jalen Johnson. I just thought that was, and I've been campaigning for this move for a long time, just his importance to this defense when this defense is really turned a corner at the end of last season. And you look at that cornerback room too, when you bring Jalen Johnson back and you have Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon and Terrell Smith, like Jalen Johnson is a huge part of that. I mean, obviously he's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, one of the best coverage cornerbacks, and just what he was able to do last season. He had a career year. Listening to him talk to after he signed the deal, he's not someone who's going to be satisfied just because he got the money. He wants to continue to get better. He even said like his approach going into this is when he faces off against receivers that he's telling himself that receiver thinks he's better than him and that he's going to get the best of him. So he uses that to kind of motivate himself too. So he's someone who I think is going to continue to get better. Just his importance to this defense is just, I mean, you can't replace a guy like that. So I was really happy that they finally, because he was so deserving of that contract extension too. And, you know, we talked about it, Ryan, too, how he handled it. Compared with, you know, Roquan Smith and like how that got ugly with the requesting the trade. I mean, you know, Jalen Johnson, you know, he did put in the trade request, but I think the Bears were kind of like, you know, hey, you can go see if you're going to get a higher amount, you know, and whatnot. But, you know, the way that I think he handled his business and he also went out on the field and handled his business, I think is important. But yeah, I mean, you look at the Bears defense and that secondary is ready to go this year. And the fact that they have Jalen Johnson, a veteran, in a very young cornerback room, too, with some really good players, him as a leader as well, and what he means to that team is it really important. And I'm excited to see him back. He deserved to get paid. I'm so glad that he didn't go to someone like the Lions or a different team. And it's important to see, you know, Ryan Poles starting to re-sign the talent that's currently on the roster. You know, first it was Cole Kmet before the season started. Jalen Johnson, guys, that you have talent already in-house. Let's keep them there. So, again, I think that was probably my favorite move. And, I mean, the Keenan Allen move, though. I mean, just, oh, my goodness. Just, oh, you got a fourth rounder for him? I mean, that's just, like, a steal. But if I had to pick between the two, because the first one that came in my mind, and I've been writing it, just Jalen Johnson's importance to this defense and this team as a whole, I think just kind of gives him a slight edge in that regard for me.
I agree. I think it's Jalen Johnson. I think it's the right message. We talked about that, right? It's the right message to send your locker room.
Absolutely.
A homegrown player who's earned the second contract, you give him the second contract. Yeah, you don't let him get away. So, and he's just a cornerstone on your defense. Like, we feel a lot better with Jalen Johnson at corner with Kyler Gordon and Tyreek Stevenson behind him than we do without him. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It kind of makes everything make sense. Love Keenan Allen. It shows that the team's going all in. But the Jalen Johnson signing, I think, was my favorite move as well. Question number five.
But can we talk about the Keenan Allen signing? Because just, I mean, like, we got to give him his props, too, because I also admire Ryan Poles, because obviously this would – maybe we can do this. Okay, Jalen Johnson was my favorite overall offseason move and my favorite defensive move. Favorite offensive move was obviously trading for Keenan Allen. And I think just the message of it, going out and getting an established Pro Bowl wide receiver to pair with your already star who should have been in the Pro Bowl receiver, DJ Moore, when you have an incoming rookie quarterback is so important. And I think that we're finally starting to see, you know, we're starting to see Ryan Poles' vision. You know, it's hard to believe that, you know, we're only in year three, right? And he finally is getting an opportunity to choose his quarterback, and you're seeing everything that he's done this offseason has been building to put Caleb Williams in the best situation that a number one quarterback is ever coming into. It's just incredible. Between the offensive moves and then between what he's doing and building a top 10 defense that could be a top five unit. They have that potential this year. I think you just have to really, obviously, if you find that compliment for Montez Sweat, this group's ready to go. So I'm just really excited about like what Poles, like, let's get Poles his props too. I mean, he had the trade of the century last year. with what he was able to get for that number one pick. And then it lands you this number one pick. You're going to get a new franchise quarterback. You're putting him in a favorable position, which is something that past quarterbacks, including Justin Fields, which makes you feel bad about that, they have not been put in favorable positions like this before. So I think just what Poles has done between – those are my two favorite moves, obviously, re-signing Jalen Johnson and then trading for Keenan Allen. Just really big-time moves by Ryan Poles.
Well, look at you, Alyssa. You found a way to answer both.
I always one. Do. Yeah, I never follow well by the rules, apparently.
That is called being a pro at what you do. So congratulations, Alyssa. You found a way to pick both Johnson and Allen, and that was a pretty neat trick you did there. All right, question number five. We're moving on. What has been the worst? Just that was a little too positive on the Ryan Poles front, so I'm gonna bring it back down to earth here. What has been the worst Ryan Poles draft pick in his Bears tenure to date? Alyssa, go ahead.
Bayless Jones. Didn't have to think about that for a single move.
That was easy. Jones. Okay, go on.
Yeah, no, it's just, I mean, you ask anybody, that's going to be the answer. It's, oh my goodness, just looking back at it too, obviously that's his first draft. That was when he landed Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, and that's when George Pickens was still on the board, and everyone, like Bears fans wanted, were really angry that Poles didn't go with George Pickens instead of Jaquan Brisker. And then to follow it up, then when you do target a receiver, it's Bayless Jones. When I forget who was still on the board, but there are a couple other decent receivers, I think, that have had solid, you know, a solid start to their careers. But Bayless Jones just has not caught on. I mean, the fact that he was on the older side, I believe it was 25 when he was drafted. There's an ongoing joke that Bayless Jones is older than any new addition they bring in. Like, I remember when they traded for Keenan Allen, they're like, oh yeah, Bayless Jones is only 1 year older than Keenan Allen. And I'm like, well, no, but, and just the fact that he has not found a role in 2 years, on offense, it's, I mean, especially when you look at that, his rookie season when they had virtually nobody, it's frustrating. And then, you know, we talked about him kind of coming on in a special teams capacity, right? And he was supposed to be the punt returner guy and the kickoff return guy. And then we saw that he just couldn't handle the pressure of fielding punts with guys running at him in the NFL, to the point where he was benched for a few games in his rookie year. And then he really kind of ended the year on a strong note, returning kickoffs. So, I mean, just it's been brutal, I think. And you kind of look at the way this roster is taking shape this offseason too, and I don't think it'd be a stretch to say that Bayless Jones probably or may not be on the roster when week one rolls around. It's just, you look at, again, this is a third round pick too. Like, it's still higher up there. You know, I did a piece on BearsWire.com, if everyone wants to go check it out, about kind of really examining Ryan Poles' draft history so far. You know, he's drafted 2 years, and just kind of looking at different trends early on and going through it. Obviously, he's hit really strong in the second round with guys like Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, Javon Dexter, Tyreek Stevenson. But the third round, you know, he's only had two picks, and they've both kind of been, they haven't gotten off to the best starts. Obviously, Bayless, I think Zach Pickens, you know, he wasn't terrible. He was a rookie, but he didn't really finish on the strong note that Javon Dexter did, right? And then, like, the fifth round has also been really good for him in terms of finding, you know, contributors later in that round. Braxton Jones, right? Just, you know, a two-year starter at left tackle going on his third year, barring some, you know, miracle where Joe Alt falls to the Bears at 9, which is not going to happen. But it's, you know, looking at Bayless Jones, it's disappointing. You know, we wanted more from him coming in, like listening to, you know, the Bears are really sold on him as a person. I remember the phone call of them calling him, and you could tell that he's a great guy. He's a great person. And they really thought that he had the tools to kind of really be an impactful contributor. And that just has not been the case, unfortunately. So, I mean, that's easily, you ask any Bears fan, what is the worst draft pick Ryan Poles has made? Immediately it will be Bayless Jones Jr. Sorry.
Yep, that's well said, and there's no rebuttal there. It's such a disappointment that he couldn't really catch on as a receiver. You know, I think it, like you said, gadget role, gadget player, and then he didn't give the team anything in special teams either. It's more of a negative than a positive there, and that's just that's a tough one. That's a tough one for Bayless Jones and Ryan Poles and the Bears. So, does he make the team this year if they draft a receiver, Alyssa, in this draft high with one of their, you know, first? In the first few rounds, I think that becomes a very debatable, you know, because like Tyler Scott, he's not going anywhere. You got Keenan Allen now. So that'll be an interesting conversation, but we can have that closer to training camp. We got one more question in our six pack before we get to our bingo card. And that is the flip side. What has been the best Ryan Poles draft pick for the Bears to date? Alyssa, there's a few decent choices here. This one could be debatable. What do you think?
There are, and thank you for ending this six pack on a high note, because my goodness, just feels so sad now. Sorry, Bayless. Like,
we're not that sorry.
Yeah, like you said, there are quite a few options. It's difficult though, because you know, obviously you want to wait probably at least 3 years before we're truly evaluating players. And you know, for his first draft class, they've only played for two full years. But I mean, I guess just kind of going off of it, I do have a couple. There are a few different answers and for different reasons. I don't know. Okay. I think I'm going to go Darnell Wright. And this is Ryan Poles' first and only first round pick until this year, where he's going to have two. And I think it's a combination of things. And we kind of talked about Darnell Wright a little bit off the air, Ryan, before we hopped on here, and you were saying too, we don't talk about him much, which is a good thing, which I completely agree. I mean, for offensive linemen, you don't want to hear their names. So I think that Darnell Wright really had a solid rookie year, and he really does look to be a cornerstone right tackle for years to come for the Bears. So I think that, you know, getting the talent that you did in the spot that you did, but also if you remember, the Bears had the 9th overall pick last year and they made the move to pass on Jalen Carter, and they traded back one spot with the Eagles and they landed an additional 4th round pick, which is their only 4th round pick now this year after they traded for Keenan Allen. So I think I like the pick as much as I like the position of it, if that makes sense, where mm-hmm. yep. you were able to stay in the first round, move back one spot, still get your guy that you were going to get anyways, and land an additional draft pick, which is really needed this year. Otherwise they would have 3 draft picks, which is insane. But I loved watching Darnell Wright last year. Just kid's going to be a stud. He's only played 1 year, which, you know, I mean, he finally has a full off season to train and to get stronger and to continue to go against this offseason, to go against Montez Sweat now, right? And like that continued practice as well. I think those are going to be some fun training camp battles to watch. So, I mean, I think he's been my favorite, but there are a few others too. So I'm curious to hear what about you? What do you think? Who's been your favorite?
Yeah, I think I love Darnell Wright. I think that's a great pick just because, again, we haven't really talked about him. And that's the greatest compliment for a first round offensive tackle that starts right away. Like, you didn't talk about him. He didn't screw it up, right? Like, there's been plenty of tackles. Go see the New York Giants, who seem to draft the tackle. I think yeah. the last one was Evan Neal. They draft high from Alabama, and he just is a complete disaster. But that wasn't the case with Darnell Wright. He played all year. I don't remember him missing much time. I think he showed some toughness, showed some consistency. I love Darnell Wright. That was a good one. I think you could go a few different ways. Tyreek Stevenson's another interesting one, because that's a player that Ryan Poles, right, Alyssa, targeted, moved up for. It was a second round pick. They moved up for him.
Yeah.
Started all 16 games as a rookie. That's a pretty good one. I like Tyreek Stevenson. I think my pick, though, it would be Braxton Jones.
Ooh.
Fifth round pick. And he's your starting left tackle, I think, right now, right? Like, does he have a lot of competition for left tackle? I don't think so. I think he's your starting left tackle. So yeah, he's your guy. And you're bringing in your new franchise quarterback, who I think throws right-handed, right? It's like, we're not bringing in Michael Penix here. He throws right-handed. Braxton Jones will be protecting that blind side. And that was a 5th round pick by Ryan Poles. I think I just looked at this question as like value. Braxton Jones, starting left tackle is a 5th round pick. That's pretty good. So yeah, I love Braxton Jones. But I don't think you can go wrong with Darnell Wright. And I think Tyreek Stevenson, that could be a sleeper pick as well for this. But give me Braxton Jones for this one.
Yeah. I like that too, because you're talking value, like all 3 of those, where whether Darnell Wright moving back one spot and still landing him, getting an additional pick, Braxton Jones landing him in the 5th round. You have he's going on his 3-year starting left tackle, and Tyreek Stevenson feeling so high on him that you had to move up to get him. That you traded up. And Ryan Poles doesn't trade up often. So like, I think that spoke volumes about how this team felt about him. And we saw his contributions. And I love Jaquan Brisker. I think just he's a great, I love watching him play. He plays with such physicality and passion. And I think that especially you bringing Kevin Byard in now, I think that's going to be a really good pairing for the Bears in a secondary that I think is very, very good. I think that cornerback group is probably cornerback tied with linebacker is their strongest position group, I think, at this point. But I think, too, the secondary, the cornerback group, the safeties and what they did in terms of depth with safety, too. I think that Brisker could have a big year, especially if you go out and you continue to upgrade that pass rush, land an edge rusher, right? I mean, Kyler Gordon has gotten better, too. He's been a sneaky guy because, I mean, we remember he got off to a rough start where Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what Kyler Gordon did, if he, like, ran over his dog or something, but Aaron Rodgers just really put Kyler Gordon on blast in that first game. Or I think it was week two or whatnot or whatever it was, but I was just like, oh, my goodness. And then just to kind of watch how Kyler Gordon has grown since then because it looked bad in the beginning, but I think he really found – I think he found his place too there at Nickelback. And I think that he is going to continue to get better too in that group. And again, having Jalen Johnson there, right, a continued leader in that locker room. So, I mean, there have been some really solid picks for Ryan Poles. Nothing that's screaming out, but again, that, like, you know, screaming superstar, hopefully not until Caleb Williams, right? Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of really solid contributors that have and will continue to be really important to the direction of this team.
Yeah, it's a good list, and we're about to add to it, right? We're about to add another draft class. You ready to talk about our 2024 Bears Wire draft bingo card? Alyssa, you ready for this?
I have been waiting. Let's go.
All right, yeah, we're not going to waste any more time. We're getting right into it. I think people love this part so much that they just skip right ahead. So welcome. Welcome to the show if you've done that.
Welcome. Go back and listen to our Caleb Williams talk, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah. If you want to hear us talk about Caleb Williams and his lip gloss, go back up. Go back to the beginning. But our bingo card is not the fanciest in the world, right? It is just 9 spots. It's a grid of a 3x3 grid with a free spot in the middle. So there you go. So we try to make it our goal is to hit a bingo, and we have every year so far, Alyssa. So we're looking to keep the streak going here in year 4. So we have our grid of 9. You want to just start? We'll start right on the top row. And again, before we get into this, folks can just go visit bearswire.com. Alyssa puts out an article that has the bingo card right there. So you can, you know, view it electronically. You could print it out if you really want to be a diehard. You know, get a bowl of popcorn, use your popcorn to put it over the spots. But I think nowadays we can
or
just,
your beer caps, you know, yeah. Bottle caps.
Nowadays we do everything on our phones, right? Just take a picture with your phone, screenshot it, and then you can edit the photo in your phone. That's what I do.
I'll also post it on Twitter too. So,
okay, perfect. Yeah. So the Bears Wire Twitter, account as well. We will start at the top here, top row from the left. So there's 3 spots here across. Square one on the left side, Alyssa. Bears draft Caleb Williams, number one. I think that's where else can we start? That is how the NFL draft is going to start. So if and when, wink, wink, the Bears draft Caleb Williams, we're going to take that square right away. I think Bears draft Caleb Williams. How else can we start our bingo card this year?
You're right. I feel like that we could have made that a free space if we wanted to add something just because, but I like it because you want that obvious one and just, you can already have that when you download it. You can, you know, use the edit tool and just, you know, put a circle on that one because that one's guaranteed. I mean, it's all but official at this point. I mean, the draft card's already filled out. I mean, it's been clear. And my favorite thing is that the Bears are not hiding it ever since they were before they traded Justin Fields because they, you know, to do right by him, they didn't want it to seem as obvious as it was. But once Fields was in Pittsburgh, like Ryan Poles is like, I don't care. We're taking Caleb Williams and we're making it known. You know, you can call us and try to offer us what you want for him, but we're taking him. Sorry, not sorry. It's happening. I'm ready to pre-order my Caleb Williams jersey now.
I think Ryan Poles is so secure with this pick, Alyssa. He's thinking about wearing a dress to the draft. That's how sure Ryan Poles is on this pick.
Did you see what Caleb tweeted? He was talking about, I think, I can't remember when it was, but he was talking about, oh, Bears fans, you should see like my outfit or my fit for like draft day. I'm like, I cannot wait.
Yeah, this is going to be, I'm so excited. You're going to have a post on his game day attire, I think, every week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing. So yeah, Bears drafted Caleb Williams. That's square one on the left. I think we're going to get that one. So now this gives us a couple chances to hit bingo right away, which I like. So top row heading over, you know, going towards the right side now, middle square, top row. We have a prop bet. We've created a prop bet for our bingo card, okay? Over 8 minutes on the first pick. Now, what do we mean by that? Okay, so there's 10 minutes between picks now for the NFL draft in the first round. The Bears are going to be on the clock. Roger Goodell will come out. They'll boo him, right? The whole thing. And then the Bears will be on the clock, and then they'll start talking about the Bears, talking about Caleb Williams and the Bears, and the, you know, Ryan Poulsen, the whole thing, right, Alyssa? This prop is that we're going to go over 8 minutes. Ryan Poles is going to let the clock run and let them talk a little bit more about his franchise and his pick and his new quarterback. He's going to let that clock tick down to under 2 minutes. That's our bet here. We're going with the over. We think the Bears are going to want to take center stage here and just kind of revel in it a little bit before they hand in that card. I don't think they're going to immediately hand it in. So we're going over 8 minutes on the clock, first pick. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, like, originally I was like, I think he's taken all 10. Just like, and everyone and their mother knows that Caleb Williams is going to the Bears, and Ryan Poles is just going to bask in it. Because, I mean, it's, you look at this offseason too, it just feels like a franchise altering offseason for the Bears. And, you know, listening, you know, following the 2023 season, listening to Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and Kevin Warren and them talking about the importance of year three, and, you know, you see people on Twitter and, you know, different outlets kind of being like, oh, the Bears going to be the team that, you know, goes from worst to first, or they make the playoffs this year. And there's so much optimism. And we're going to, you know, Ryan Poles is going to want to keep that talk going. And I'm sure, you know, he'll be answering some phone calls, not really considering trading that pick, but this could be a good opportunity for him to kind of gauge, you know, what's going on in the first round and all that. And, you know, perhaps plan for a future move. So, I mean, I think that I said 10 minutes. I like that you brought it down to 8, just in case, maybe they're so excited that, you know, he's just like, okay, it's been 1 minute or 2 minutes. Okay, Caleb is a Bear. But I think he's going to use some of that clock, or most of that clock.
This one's fun. This one's like betting on the length of the national anthem in the Super Bowl, yes, or something. So we're going to be watching eagerly to see when this pick comes in. Again, we're going over 8 minutes. We think there's going to be less than 2 minutes on the clock when this pick is made for the Bears, as Mel Kiper and all of them lather themselves up and talk about Caleb Williams and how their big board was correct with the number one overall pick and all that crap. So there's our second one in the top row. I kind of like that one. And on the right side of the top row, so going from left to right, this is our third spot on the top row going across. This is one that we've kind of recycled from the years. Alyssa, Bears trade back at any point. This is just for the people listening for the first time. This is a Thursday night bingo card, right? This is a third. So we're watching a lot of us will fully absorb or consume the first round of the NFL draft. But then a lot of us who aren't covering the draft like you, Alyssa, get on with our lives and during the weekend. You know what I mean? But so the bingo card, yeah, the bingo card is really for that Thursday night. So all of these are just a Thursday night thing, but the Bears picked twice in the first 10 picks. So Bears trading back could be the first pick. We're not expecting that, but maybe pick number 9. The Bears kind of, this is a storyline that might get missed, because I think people, we talk about the Caleb Williams thing so much that we almost forget they picked number 9 overall. But even beyond that, they go number 9, and then after that, their next pick isn't until 75, right? So they only have 4 picks total in this entire draft. So they have a chance there at number 9, Alyssa, to trade back and gain some draft capital, which I could see being in Ryan Poles' wheelhouse. So that's another one I like. I like this top row. This is kind of what I'm targeting for our bingo this year. Caleb Williams, over 8 minutes on the first pick, and then Bears trade back at any point in the first round.
Yeah, I love how you said it's trade back when it should be trade back from 9, because they are not trading back from 1. But I like that, because people are going to be like, what? But no, they have 2 first round picks, guys. I think that's a good one. It's something that's, you know, built up a little steam as we're heading into the last couple of weeks before the draft. So like last week, I think it really built some, you know, steam, people suggesting, you know, there could be teams. Obviously, first off, if JJ McCarthy falls to them at 9, I think that's a prime opportunity for the Bears to trade back, because I think at that point, if a team doesn't trade up to, you know, trade up with the Cardinals, I'm assuming, or the Chargers to get to draft JJ or whatever the fourth quarterback would be, then at that point, all three of those receivers are off the board. The top edge rusher is probably off the board. Joe Alt's off the board. Like, so at that point, I think you're in a position where you can afford to trade back, get additional draft capital, and still probably get a, you know, one of the top three edge rushers or whatever you want to get. So I think it's definitely a possibility for sure. But again, if like Roma Dunze is there, I don't think Neighbors is going to fall. But if Neighbors or Dunze are there at nine, you take them and you don't look back. But, you know, I do think, like you said, that top row has good potential to be a bingo immediately.
So. Bingo potential right there is like we like to say. But nice segue, because this could go, you know, hand in hand with that first round pick. I think by the time the Bears are picking number nine, I should say that number nine pick, by the time the Bears are picking at number nine, the amount of stud defensive players on the board could be out of this world, right? With all the quarterback action that's going to go on at the top of the draft, all these receivers, Malik Neighbors, Marvin Harrison Jr., they're going to go off the board. Those top tackles, Joe Alt, right? Those guys could go off the board as well. By the time the Bears are picking at number nine, Alyssa, there could be only a couple defensive players even drafted, right? That's really how this draft could go. So they're going to be in a fascinating spot. So in our middle row from the left side, so that square on the left side, Bears draft an edge player. We're going to narrow it down to edge. This is your idea. Why do you want to narrow it down to edge? And why did you just mention edge? You think that's, if they go defense in the first round, you think this is the most likely scenario?
Absolutely. I mean, I think defensive tackle is definitely a possibility too, but looking at the way Poles has kind of approached this offseason, you know, after Justin Jones left in free agency, which good on him getting a big deal from the Cardinals. He should be thanking Montez Sweat for that. But like after that, and they didn't address defensive tackle. To me, it feels like Jervon Dexter is a natural to kind of step in to that starting role at three tech. Then not to say that if, you know, Byron Murphy or Johnny Newton, especially if you trade back, I think that they're definitely on the table there, you know, for them, definitely a possibility for them to take. But I think you look immediate needs. Both are on the defensive line on defense, but you really need a true complement opposite Montez Sweat. And even after that, because you look at right now, defensive end, what you have that are proven established players that you feel comfortable going into the season with, it's at two with Montez Sweat and DeMarcus Walker, and that's it. Dominique Robinson's on there, there's a couple other guys, but you have two guys really at this point, and you didn't really make a move. I think if you don't draft an edge rusher in the draft, I think that they could look into the re-signing Yannick Ngakoue, because he already knows the defense. You know, at this point, you get him for another one-year deal. You worry about drafting an edge next year. I mean, edge is the biggest position need at this point, so that's why I put that one on there. I think you look at, like you mentioned, Ryan, if the draft falls a certain way, if all three receivers are off the board, or if, you know, it's quarterback heavy, you could have your pick of the top three edge rushers. But this isn't a particularly deep group either. So I don't know. I think it could be, you could double dip here. You could do the trade back from nine and draft an edge rusher, and you get two picks right there.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get Dallas Turner, you know, Jared Verse or Laiatu Latu could still be on the board there. I mean, it'll be interesting. I just think because that is the biggest position need at this point, you know, aside from quarterback, because they have no one technically on the roster right now. I think that that just makes the most sense.
Yep, that makes sense. And it makes sense that we put that in our middle row, because I think in the past we said just Bears draft defense. You know, they go defense, make it a little bit more general, but we're in a row with a free space. So we got to make this a little bit tougher. So we're going to pinpoint it at the edge, which I think, to your point,
could have done defensive line now that I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which could give us some ends. You know, we could kind of, you know, semantics a little bit, give ourselves a chance. But no, we're going to go edge rusher. I think it's a good one. It's a need, and you could have your pick of some of the top guys, even if you trade back. So Bears drafted edge. Then it's our free space as we continue on from left to right here in our middle row. On our final square in the middle row on the right side, any surprise, and we can put that in quotes, because if any of the analysts on the platform you're watching on are surprised by the pick, this could count.
Any if you yourself are surprised.
Sure, yeah. This is one where it's, you know, we give a little leeway.
Subjective.
Yep, exactly. The way we like to be. Any surprise round one Bear selection, right? So it could be something we didn't see coming. Maybe they draft a tackle at number 9 overall, you know, something like that. Like they just use up Brock Bowers, the tight end, after you just signed Gerald Everett in free agency, I think would qualify. Any surprise round one selection, Alyssa? That closes our middle row.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know. I'm like, cause I don't really feel like that one is as good. I know you get the free space in that row, but the edge, the surprise pick, I don't know.
It's a tough one.
It's funny because you do all these mock drafts and like, you see all these different players mocked to them. And I mean, I remember Darnell Wright being mocked to the Bears last year too at some point. But, you know, like Peter Schrager released his first mock of the year. And I remember last year he had like Christian Gonzalez going to them. That didn't happen. He has a tackle going to them this year. And I'm like, at 9, yeah, I'm like,
That would constitute a surprise.
You just never know is my point. You know, like all of the, like, and I've done a lot of mock drafts. We have no idea. Like, so, I mean, they're actually, that there's a good chance actually, now that I think about it, that middle row could be that could land.
Yeah. Well, we do have the free space, so that could go, but you know, I mean, if they don't pick Caleb Williams, that's a surprise, right? But I have a hard time feeling like anything's going to really knock our socks off.
I'm tossing the bingo card in the trash.
Yeah. That'll be a tough row to hit going across, but we will see what happens. I think this next one's going to be tough as well as we start on our bottom row from the left. So left side, bottom row, left corner. Bears trade up in the first round. Alyssa, I don't see this one happen. First of all, it'd have to be number 9. You can't trade up from number 1. Good job, Ryan Poles, by getting that spot. trading up, I guess they could if they said, hey, we want Malik Nabers. We want to pair Caleb Williams with Malik Nabers. We're going up to get him.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right. I guess it's possible. And we wouldn't be too upset if they did something that wild. But with only 4 draft picks as you head into this one, seems unlikely they trade up, right? It seems unlikely they have the capital to really make a move up in this draft. It feels like a trade back is way more a likely scenario.
Yeah, the trading up I'm not as confident in, but it's anything's possible too. And there's, you know, reports out there about, you know, the Bear, like if Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the board at 5, like say the Cardinals trade that 4th pick to someone who wants to come up for JJ McCarthy or whatnot. And at 5 there with the Bears and Marvin Harrison Jr. still there, would they consider moving up there? I think I saw someone say that they'd be asking, obviously you'd swap first rounders and then the Chargers would ask for a 2025 second rounder, which you have 2 of because you had that Panthers one still from that trade last year. So, like, if that's the price, a second rounder, and then you get the number 9 pick to get Marvin Harrison Jr., go for it. Let's go. Let's get crazy. I am ready. I mean, I don't think that's as likely as, you know, some people are hoping, but I would not be opposed to that. I would be celebrating. And that would also constitute a surprise pick as well. So, there we go.
It would. So, all right. I have a bingo alert. So, we can use this free spot. Mm. In different ways. So going vertically down the middle row from top to bottom, this is where we have at the top row, we have the over 8 minutes on the first pick, which I think is we have a good chance of hitting. Then coming down through the free space to this bottom row in the middle, any Justin Fields versus Caleb Williams debate, right? The continuation of what's been going on all offseason, Alyssa. That's all anyone talked about. Justin Fields or Caleb Williams, Justin Fields or Caleb Williams, until finally Fields was traded to Pittsburgh and we could finally end that freaking debate and say, all right, it's Caleb Williams. But I have a feeling while Ryan Poles is letting that clock tick, right, with the first overall pick, that Mel Kiper and the boys are going to be out there, Mike Greenberg and all of them, they're going to be out there talking up, and there's at some point they're going to talk about Fields versus Williams. They're going to rehash that thing. Did they make the right call letting Fields go? Oh, absolutely, Mike. You know, that whole thing is going to happen. And when it does, we could hit a bingo in one fell swoop right there using that free space. So I feel like this is a lock that they're going to talk Fields versus Williams at some point during this draft, right before that first pick.
Oh, absolutely. That's again, like I said, free space. I mean, how do you not, like, when you're segueing into the Bears drafting a quarterback, you have to mention Justin Fields. It's been the storyline. Like you said, I think we could get this a number of ways. I mean, I do think that Ryan Poles is going to take most of that 8 minutes. So like you said, I don't think that they're going to be showing Caleb Williams highlights until, you know, until the pick is official, then they transition into that part of their segment. So you're going to have plenty of time to talk about it. And I definitely think, like you said, it's going to be, oh, the Bears make the right move moving on for Justin Fields. And we all know they're taking Caleb Williams here. Like, I think we might even after they make the pick, which this would still count as well, like you could get like a comparison too.
Yep. Like anything like that would work.
A collegiate comparison or Justin Fields' stats from his time with the Bears and then Caleb Williams' stats in his last year at USC. Like you're going to get something where it's comparing them. So I think that, again, just mark that down. You know, already mark that spot. You got that.
Yeah. I think I'm really liking this card. But I'll talk about what I like about this bingo card here or in a hole in a minute. But let's just wrap it up here. Our final square. On the right side, bottom row, any mention of this is one we've recycled over the years. One of our favorites. It's the return of the any mention of the Bears' historic quarterback woes. Right. So anything where they're talking about Caleb Williams before this first pick or after the pick is made and they say the Bears have never historically had problems with their quarterback or have never had a quarterback this good or blah, 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 whatever. However you want to phrase that one. Again, it is subjective. Yeah. Drink and we will take that square. So any mention of Bears' historic quarterback woes is back, Alyssa, and that rounds out our card.
Yeah, I think that it makes the most sense to add this. I hope this is the last time that we add this on the card, too.
Same.
Like, that it is could my
be.
Hope.
Could be.
Let's retire it after this year. Please, Caleb Williams, do me a solid here. Just, I mean, this is the perfect year to mention it, too, obviously, because, unfortunately, Justin Fields is part of those quarterback woes now because it didn't work out, but... Yeah, I don't want to see this one again next year, Ryan.
No, that's a great way to put it. We're going to retire that question finally as it has continued to live on throughout the years. So that is our bingo card. Again, Bears draft Caleb Williams. Ryan pulls over 8 minutes on the clock, first pick. Those are the first couple. Bears trading back in the first round. That was a top row going from left to right. And I think really our bingos could really come down to that prop bet, this is what I like about this card, yeah. Alyssa. It's my favorite part about it. That over 8 minutes on the first pick, the Bears could, I mean, it's very possible they're so excited that they don't take much time and they put it in, you know, maybe with 5 minutes left or something. So a lot of this bingo hinges, I think, on that prop bet that we're going over. So hopefully we're able to nail that one. Because if not, this could get tricky. I don't want to come back on here next week or in a couple weeks after the draft and not have a bingo to talk about. So this is a lot of pressure on us to hit this prop bet. We're feeling pretty confident. I don't know what the odds are.
Yeah, I'm really glad you talked me down from 10 minutes.
That would be a little tough. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, but we're going for that two. There's going to be less than 2 minutes, 2 minutes or less on the clock when this pick comes in.
Which that makes sense. I feel like that's fair. You know, you could even do seven, but, you know, that would be like a gimme. So we knocked it up to eight to build some suspense, you know.
Yeah,
so.
But we got to hit that over. Bingo? We got to hit that over, I think, to get the bingo because those are our best chances.
Great. I feel like we're in season doing a betting segment again.
Yeah, seriously. But that's the bingo card. Again, folks can find that on bearswire.com. Could also find it on the social media pages that Alyssa will put it out on those social channels as well. We appreciate you guys. The bingo card is one of the staples of our show. For Alyssa Barbieri, I'm Ryan O'Leary. Again, thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoy the draft. Hopefully you hit bingo with us. And we will catch you right after the draft to break it all down. We'll talk to you then.
And as always, bear down.